Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got our friend Jonathan Brentner back with us, the author of Lavish Feast. That's his latest book. We had him on recently to talk about that. It's been probably several months now, but you can go look up that one. But you can get his book at jonathanbrentner.com. Also, he's got a Facebook page, Jonathan C. Brentner. You can look him up there and connect with him. And brother, good to see you again. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me on. I so appreciate the invitation to be back with you, David.
Well, it encourages both of us, so there. Before we jump into today's topic and just how much closer can we get and the encouragement of Bible prophecy and the rapture, which is under attack today, before we get to that, tell us what you're doing. You are kind of, this is a new adventure for you, doing your YouTube videos and just trying to encourage people. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, several years ago, I recorded a few podcasts and then I sort of let that go by the wayside. And then I just felt recently that I wanted to get back into doing that. And my emphasis right now is to provide short videos, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, although one's longer, just describing why we can have confidence in the pre-tribulation rapture. That is really my heart. The really heart of my ministry is to defend what we believe about, first of all, about Israel and about the Lord's promises to them. And furthermore, also, God's promises to us that he's coming for us someday. He's going to take us up to heaven. And my latest video is on John 14, verses 2 and 3, where I emphasize just the importance that Jesus is preparing a place for us. We have a home. And it's just so encouraging to me, and I hope it'll be encouraging to other people as well, to other believers as well, that we have a home, that the Lord Jesus is preparing a place for us. And it's no coincidence that he was a carpenter. Well, his dad was a carpenter, and we can almost be sure that he was trained in his dad's profession before he began his ministry. And that's what I emphasize, that he's building a place for us. And just how amazing is it that the Lord isn't preparing a place for us, excuse me, in some far-off distant place in the galaxy. He's preparing a place for us where he's going to spend eternity, where God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus, our Savior, it's their home as well. How amazing can that be? And we know it's a huge, huge place. But I just think it's so encouraging that he's preparing a place for us. This world is increasingly not our home, but he's coming back to take us to the place he's preparing for us.
Amen. It's hard to imagine. It really is, because God is spaceless, timeless, and here we are stuck in this current world. But you're referring to John chapter 14. And why don't we just read that, and you can say anything else you'd like to about that before we move on, Jonathan. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And then he goes on to the verse I hope everybody knows in John 14, 6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." But Jonathan, let's focus on, he's specifically said he's going, he's getting things ready, and he's going to come back, and then he's going to take us to be with him. Share whatever you like on your heart right now.
Okay, yes. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's coming to take us to where he is at, to where I am. He's not coming to be where we are at. And it's interesting, a few verses earlier, when Peter was wondering about why Jesus was going to leave them, the Lord Jesus said, you know, you will Well, he indicated that they would follow him eventually. You'll follow me, but not now. And he was referring to the time when he would come back for them and take them to the place that he was preparing for them. And in Colossians 3:4, Paul writes that when Jesus appears, we will appear with him in glory. That's not a place on earth. When Jesus comes, we go to glory to be with him. And then in the second coming, we come back to earth with him.
So, friends, I don't remember if I gave his website over at jonathanbrentner.com, but also harbingersdaily.com. He's got an author page there as well. There it is. And so if you want to check out his writings there or his website, and he's got a YouTube channel. He goes by Jonathan C. Brentner on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to Daniel 9. And you focus on 9:27. And I like what you pointed out. And the verse says, he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And then it goes on, and then until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. But let's focus on that, the strong covenant. And then it's not just with one person or one nation. It's for the covenant is with many. Can you explain that?
For a long time, I didn't understand how that was going to work, because it's evident that it refers to Israel. It's the covenant of death that the prophet Isaiah talks about in the book of Isaiah. But now we understand what that could signify. I'm not at all saying that Trump is the Antichrist or anything like that, but we see him gathering the support of many nations and building this League of Nations, in a sense, and hoping that the strength and numbers of all these Arab nations will help enforce the peace for Israel. Now, we know it's not going to work until Jesus returns, but I think it's so fascinating that now we understand a little bit more about what it might signify, and that there will be many nations involved in this, and it's yet we don't know yet how it's all going to play out and the specifics of it. But it is amazing that now we have many. And as I point out in my newsletter, presidents for 50 years have tried to bring peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors. But now something's a little bit different. I don't think it's going to work. It hasn't worked so far. But it's amazing to see how this is setting the stage for what lies ahead.
So I just want to quote you from your article. And this, again, friends, you can find this at jonathanbrentner.com. It's exactly what we would expect. How much closer can we get? You say this, what we see happening at the UN, United Nations, and among the nations, is setting the stage for the accord that Antichrist will make with, quote, the many to ensure peace in the Middle East. It's likely this covenant will allow Israel to build a third temple. In order to fulfill Jesus' words about the last week of Daniel, this temple must exist by the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation, and it will. So, Jonathan, there's a lot to unpack in just that those couple sentences there. Would you do that, please?
Okay. Well, working backwards, the idea of the temple, that we see the temple fever in Israel like never before. The Temple Institute is training Levites to be to serve as priests in the temple. We see this fever just exploding throughout Israel. Even the government has gotten into the planning for the eventuality that there will be a temple on the Temple Mount. And as I explained earlier, we see the stage setting with the many, that Trump is involving many nations and trying to secure the peace in Israel. And we don't know exactly how it'll transpire. We don't know exactly how Antichrist will turn this into his covenant, but we see the framework that I believe he will eventually use.
So also you go on to say, consider how these things fit what the Bible says about Israel in the last days. And then there's some bullet points, and very, very clear when you look at them listed like this, Jonathan, it's like, wow, Israel exists as a nation steeped in unbelief. Check. Israel is either at war or under constant threat of imminent attack. Check. The obsession of many nations seeking to bring peace to the Middle East. Check that off. A growing passion within Israel to build the third temple. Check. An already trained, as you mentioned, Levite priesthood ready to serve in the future temple. Check. And then here's one I would like you to speak a little bit more to. Intense worldwide anti-Semitism. Check. Not surprising, but I guess it maybe caught a lot of people, especially in America, off guard since October 7, 2023. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yes, it was building before that. Mm-hmm. But as you look at what will happen during the tribulation period, we know that Antichrist is going to succeed in killing a great many of the Jewish people. And he's not going to do that in a vacuum, just as Hitler had a great army supporting his anti-Jewish agenda, you know, in concentration camps and whatever. The Antichrist will also have a league of people, and it's not going to happen in a vacuum. And long ago, I thought, you know, if what happens during the tribulation to the Jews is going to happen, we're going to have to see the buildup of anti-Semitism in our world. Mm. And boy, is it ever exploding. And I also believe that the anti-Semitism of the world is driving people to Israel, even though the nation is under, like I said, a constant threat of war. If they're not being bombed at the time, people are still going back to Israel. I read recently that Israel is saying that if people want to come to Israel, especially from New York, that they'll forego the income tax for them for a couple years.
Wow.
They're trying to give breaks to businesses who come back to Israel, so it makes it easier for them to do. And the election of that, of the socialist Muslim in New York, is just adding fuel to the fire. And you know, could that lead to many Jews from New York going to Israel? I'm not sure, but it seems that it's a likely scenario in the future.
Yeah, that was, I would say, eye-opening maybe to a lot of people. The election of Mamdani in New York as the mayor of New York City. So it'll be interesting to see how many Jewish people move out of New York. That's still to be seen. But a couple more minutes before we take a brief pause with you, Jonathan. The next section that I'm going through your article here, 'tis the season. And you say, yes, the holiday season is here, but I'm referring to another season, and that is of Jesus' imminent appearing. I say that because according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-8, Antichrist cannot appear on the world scene until after the rapture. So can you talk to us about that timing briefly?
Yes, it seems to be that, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul was talking about the fact that the day of the Lord had not started yet. And he was telling them that you know, they could know that the day of the Lord had not started yet because the Antichrist was not on the world scene. Then a little bit later in that same passage, there seems to be a connection between the restrainer, whom I believe is the Holy Spirit. The restrainer is removed during the time of the rapture. And after that, there's no more restriction on Antichrist appearing on the world scene. So there seems to be that train of events, that the rapture happens and the restraining force of the Holy Spirit leaves with us. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't be active during the tribulation period, because we see a great many people will come to know Jesus as their Savior after we are gone. It just means that this particular ministry of the Holy Spirit through us as believers will end in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. And then Antichrist will, in his reign of lawlessness, will be fully revealed to the world.
I like the warnings in that section from 2 Thessalonians 2 as well. I mean, it starts off by saying, we request you, brethren, it says that you not be quickly shaken from your composure. Yeah. Now, this is the New American Standard version I'm reading, but don't be shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it were from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. And then it says again in verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come until or unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. A lot of warnings, it seems like Jesus said, watch or do not be deceived so many times. Paul picks up the same theme quite often when he talks about these things. Don't be deceived. Make sure you go to the word and know exactly what's happening. But Jonathan, we've got to take a brief pause. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this on Worldview Matters. Friends, watch this. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, friends, I've got notes every now and then. People, when they send in a donation, and we are in our third year of producing Worldview Matters, and we're getting more donations, and we thank you for that. It's fundraising season. Worldview Matters, David, thank you for blessing us with the truth. Thank you for doing the Lord's will and being a faithful servant. Freedom Project Media and the entire staff are in our prayers daily. Please continue doing the great job you all have been called to do. Prayers and blessings to all, and please keep speaking the truth in His name. And that is from Jeff and Karen. And then she says, P.S., looking forward to using my stainless mug. What is she talking about? Well, that's one of these stainless steel tumblers. These are brand new. It's our way of just thanking you if you are able to give financially. If we thank you for your prayers, and we need all the prayers we can get to keep going. But if you are able to donate a gift of $200 or let's just say $25 a month, that's what a lot of people do, we'll send you one of these. It's just our way of saying thanks. And this, man, does this keep the coffee hot in the morning for a long time? It's got my tagline on it: keep speaking the truth about things that matter. And of course, on this side, Worldview Matters. I love it. And I think I got one of the first ones. But you can get yours if you can donate. Go down to the website, worldviewmatters.tv. And like I said, first and foremost, thank you for praying and then for sharing the podcast. That's how it's getting out there, friends. It's not us. We don't have any nifty marketing people working for us with strategic campaigns, nothing like that. It's your sharing. So thank you. It's grassroots. Jonathan Brentner, in this article, you've got a picture of, I think it's the Economist magazine, that says The World Ahead 2026. And it's a little creepy and scary, but this is what's happening, and we've got to be aware. But you say in the article, some analysts say that the cover portrays 2026 as a time of three things: war, pestilence or epidemics, three, financial collapse. Talk to us about your thoughts on any of these.
It occurred to me that that's what will happen with the writers of the apocalypse and Revelation 6. It was tracking so much with Revelation 6 verses 1 to 8, because there we see wars, we see pestilence and epidemics at verse 8, and we also see financial collapse. And all these things have been, in a sense, hanging over our heads, but it sent for several years. And it gets back to what we talked about in 2 Thessalonians 2, because it's a restrainer that's holding these things back. In fact, I think we'd already be with Jesus, and these things would already be overspread throughout the world if not for the restraining force of the Holy Spirit. You know, people have been talking about financial collapse for many, many years. 12 years ago, I read a book about the impending financial disaster that was at hand, and the arguments were very good and valid, but it hasn't happened yet. And I attribute that to the restraining force of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think we're getting close to that. A lot of indicators and a lot of so-called experts. Some of them might be authentic experts with knowledge and experience on this, and others are just, you know, prognosticating. But I want to talk about something else. Unless, so that was the financial aspect on a potential collapse. What about pestilence or epidemics? I mean, we went through COVID 5 years ago, and was that an eye-opener, I hope, to a lot of people, especially the body of Christ, and not just what happens when fear is built up and the media just played on the fears of the people and the left used fear to gain more control, but not only that, Jonathan, that some churches in the body of Christ in America sadly believed the lie that the church in America was non-essential. Really? The church? Yeah. The gospel? Christians? Mm-hmm. Non-essential? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we hopefully learned our lesson. But what are your thoughts on pestilence or epidemics?
I think that the globalists, the elite of our world, are still planning to use that in the future.
Yep.
To spread it, I read about these labs that are producing these viruses and epidemics, and I don't know why they're experimenting with them. If there's one that's already out there and they need to come up with some kind of antidote, I could understand that, but not all the experimentation that's going on. I believe that they saw how well that COVID worked in controlling the people. And I believe that they will use it again at some point in the future. And I'm hoping that the rapture happens before that time, but we just don't know.
So you also mentioned in the article, after talking about these three things, and these are huge, each one of them, huge categories of what might be happening, and wars are already happening. But you say, if these sound familiar, they are conditions we read about in Revelation 6, 1 through 8, after Jesus opens the first four seals, releasing the riders of the apocalypse. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we see those same things in those verses. We see the war, the financial devastation, and we also see the pestilences, the widespread death. And I just thought it was so interesting to look at that cover and to realize that it's not just the Bible talking about those things coming, that it is also a secular magazine produced, I believe, in the United Kingdom, talking about these things as well. That just really surprised me and in a sense blew me away. I said, wow, you know, how close can we get? How much closer can we get to the end times? But yet I know that there's that restraining force of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about. But at some point, he's going to say enough is enough. And there's another aspect of that, too. I run across so many Christians that plan for their future as though nothing is going to interrupt it. And, of course, we don't know the timing of Jesus appearing to take us home. But yet, we have to hold the future in our hands loosely. It's good to plan. We need to plan. We need to be wise and looking forward. We need to be good stewards of the resources that he's given to us. There's nothing wrong in setting goals, but to talk as though you have all the time in the world and that nothing is going to interrupt your plans, it's foolhardy, I believe, considering what even secular magazines are telling us about the future, let alone what we read in the headlines every day on our news feeds.
Yeah, we're close to a lot of things, and even prophetic things. There's signs all around us. I think of Ephesians, I think it's 4:15, but don't quote me on that. No, 5:15, talking about redeeming the time. And yes. I think Christians need to have a sense of urgency that I don't think we've had. And I've asked this question so often, Jonathan, what is it going to take the body of Christ in the West, or at least in America, to wake up? You know, we went through COVID. We've gone through all the kinds of big world events. We went through the assassination of Charlie Kirk a couple months ago. What is it going to take for Christians to wake up? Well, that's for another podcast. We've got 3 minutes left. You write about, replacement theology, anti-Semitism. Why do you think these just off views on Bible prophecy are so popular, such as replacement theology?
That is a really good question. I think that there's this aura of wanting something that's popular, and so they are popular. It also, these things rely on human wisdom, just like Gnosticism back in the first and second century of the church, there was this pride in people knowing something that others did not know. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but there is that sense of something new. And it's so ironic, as I point out in one of my articles, that the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation people, many of them criticized the rapture because no one believed in it until John Darby in the late 1800s. And they say something that new can't possibly be true, but yet they encourage us to believe what they're saying because it is new. It's just insanely ironic that that is going on. And it also hinges on a lot of personal experience. As I mentioned in one of my articles, a lot of people, they have these experiences and they place experiences over the words of scripture. They have this, well, even with the cults, you know, you have these people that have visions, experiences, they get divine revelation. It's going on today. People have these visions. And, you know, God can speak to us, but it has to be in accordance and agreement with scripture.
Yes.
God's word is the authoritative words for all our faith and practice. And so you have all kinds of people have these ideas. Now, you know, the pre-tribulation rapture, my hope in Jesus, imminent appearing, has been very encouraging and comforting to me over the years. I can cite many experiences, but it's not my experiences that I base my hope in Jesus' imminent appearing. It's the words of scripture. And that's why I have such a passion to teach it and to explain scripture as to why I believe it is true.
Thank you, brother. And thank you for talking about, revelation and things like that. The canon is closed. There is no new revelation. God does speak today, but primarily he speaks through his word. And, the Holy Spirit is alive and active, but the word of God is alive and active. But friends, there is no new revelation. So be careful going down those paths. Jonathan, thank you. I want to encourage people to look you up on Facebook, connect with you there. Jonathan Brentner, also your book, Invitation to a Lavish Feast. That's on Amazon, but you can get the link at jonathanbrentner.com. If you're on Harbingers Daily, keep up with both of us there. We're both thankful to be a part of Harbingers Daily. And guys, thank you so much. Jonathan, we appreciate your time, brother. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you. Thanks so much for having me, David. You have a very, very Christmas, too.
Thank you. You are most welcome, brother. Friends, thank you. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.